Hi, my name is Hayden Pedersen, and this is Uncommon.
Uncommon is a production by Neural, an agency that helps both brands and talent tell their story. To learn more, just visit neural.com. That's NERALLE.com. My guest this week, Hayden Pedersen. He's
we're
back
here.
In.
Yep, we're here.
Photographer, filmmaker, creator, YouTuber.
Yes.
It's good to see you, mate.
It's good to be here. It's been a hot minute,
So, I mean, we've got to talk about the hiatus, but probably one of the best openers that I found when I was going through all those questions was potatoes.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
How do you like your potatoes? If you were to rate them 1 to 4.
How did this question... Did someone say this?
Like someone said this.
How do people know that I hate potatoes?
I don't know. This is a very old Hayden Pedersen meme.
Did we cover this on the previous podcast?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, actually, I have developed as a man since our last podcast together. In fact, I actually don't mind potatoes now. I used to hate them with a passion, but now it's like... I can go from Macca's fries, which is barely potato, all the way up to just like your typical, just normal potato, but I don't like mashed potato.
Like a jacket potato.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know what that is, but yeah, I'll just go with that. But yeah, like I don't like mashed potato.
So, okay, if we were to look at them, chips, which is, let's say hot chips, crisps, which is, you know, potato chips.
Yeah.
Jacket potato, which is like what you get at Spud Bar, like sort of a... Not boiled, but like a steamed jacket potato that they put with sour cream or something like that. Roasted.
Okay.
Or mash.
Are you asking like which would be my favorite?
Give us the one with one being your favorite and five your least favorite.
Okay. So I don't remember all of the things you just said because I don't care about potatoes that much to remember. But if I will give you some, it would be, the top would be fries because they have like the least amount of potato. And actually... Yeah, and then next one would probably be crisps.
Okay.
And then one after that would probably be...
Surely roasted.
Yeah, roasted potatoes, yeah. Yep. The ones that like you kind of cook that like you can have like some like almost like charcoal around the outside. It's like really thin sort of thing. The thinner it is, the better. If it's dumb thick, I'm not a fan.
So mash and like a... And a jacket potato is going to be dog shit.
Yeah. Mash is just like, don't touch my lips.
Now, if people want to get that whole story, I think they should. And with a lot of these questions, we've got so many fucking questions. Go back to the original episode, which we'll link in the show notes, wherever you're watching it, YouTube, whatever. Go find the old episode because this. I feel like with you guys, you get asked these questions a lot and a lot of this stuff has been covered.
Well, I haven't been asked anything about potatoes before, so now this is a special episode.
But we spoke about why you didn't like it, so
yeah.
That's at least one thing. Now
we've covered that, so that's
the hiatus. You spent a solid 8 months, I'd say, away from YouTube.
Yeah, 8 months, almost 9 months.
We hadn't had the only time that we had to catch up was we did like a group sort of Zoom interview. God, it would have been like June.
I don't even remember doing that.
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
Yeah, I remember half the time you were like going nuts on your bed. Like,
I do remember that. Okay, yeah, I was going through shit then. Yeah.
So talk to me about what the last 8 months has been like for you.
Okay. The last 8 months has been the craziest 8 months of my life. And I can't even exaggerate that because it's like, I experienced stuff in the past 8 months that like I didn't even think was possible, honestly. And it's almost like if I was to properly get into it, it's almost like unbelievable because it's like we're sort of in our kind of like Western culture, like me and you in Australia, America, whatever. And we're pretty like, we're conditioned to be like, all right, this is this and this is that. But then like the past 8 months has shown me that like, holy crap, there's so much more to life than this and this is that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So in a way, you got very existential about your current belief system. Basically.
Yeah. So essentially like the past 8 months has been like a process of me shedding my own dogmas, beliefs, ideas about reality, thus like letting go of reality. And then when you let go of something, that's when you gain it. Because if you're clinging on to something, that's when you lose it. Because clinging on is fear, but letting go is love. And so essentially like the past 8 months has been like this process of self-love.
So what do you think triggered that? Do you think it was COVID? Do you think it was the fact that we were all locked down for so long, or that you had more time on your hands?
Well, COVID was more of the event that kind of like pushed me to go more inward rather than looking for answers outward. And it came actually like perfect timing almost, because I was at this point with YouTube where I was just posting in order to stay relevant and feeling like I had to create rather than I wanted to create, because of the pressure of other people and like all of this kind of stuff. But the thing is, what you'll come to realize is that pressure is like an illusion. You create it in your mind.
Yeah.
And I needed a way to be able to deal with that pressure, because otherwise, if I wasn't able to deal with it, then I would just keep going. I would get more and more burnt out, and who knows what would happen. Like, it's just not sustainable what I was doing. Mm. And so having that time to just like COVID, went down to Warragul and I just chilled out. And that time was like, okay, I was like, okay, I'll take a month off YouTube. That was like what I was going to do, because the idea of me taking more than even a month at that point was the scariest thing. It was so scary, because I was literally like a workaholic.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I've got that.
Yeah.
I understand it.
It's that feeling of like, oh my God, like you feel guilty if you don't, like you feel like shit if you don't post, if you don't do your thing. And so like, I was like, okay, well, that's when I came to this realization that this is actually running my life and I needed to do something about that. And what that was to paradoxically do nothing. So it's like being in Warragul was perfect, because that's like an hour away from the city, an hour away from the boys, everything that like is YouTube and all of that kind of stuff. So it provided that detachment, but detaching from that has been the toughest process I've ever been through.
Yeah. Cause it's almost like, oh, it's an addiction.
It is.
You know, I've had this recently where, look, I accept that, and I think you and I have similar personality traits. We're very much conscientious A-type individuals that often means that you get dragged into doing things that people ordinarily wouldn't do, which works well for business but doesn't work well sometimes for your personal life. And so you have to have those moments, sometimes more existential than most, sometimes they just have to be little moments. Like I had one actually this week where I'm just like, I've had two recently in the last month. One this week where I went, all this stuff that I want to do before the wedding is totally irrelevant. All we need to do is focus on content and making really, really good ads. That's it. That's all we should focus on. All this other little shitty stuff that I want to do is just pulling me away from stuff. And I should be having more time to chill the fuck out at night. So there was that. But then also, I think Jacob and I had this like, you know, a month or so ago where I was like, oh, yeah, I want to make like a video a week. And it just, it's like it became obvious to me that this was just untenable.
No.
With everything that is going on, without a studio, without more staff, without more time to do it right. And also, you know, you're right. Like we have been a little bit conditioned that people need to hear what we have to say about everything. Whereas I think sometimes like quality, we're in this era. I read this really good book recently from David Ogilvy of Ogilvy and Mather. And he was saying the 60s and 70s were like this period where the TV came along and we were just blown away by the amount of content that we had. And I find that there are very much similarities to that era now. And so people go for quality, and there's just this, you can start to see it. You can start to see it in the way that people treat different social media platforms, YouTube, whatever it may be. Do you walk me through what would your week look like?
In Warragul when I was down there.
During the 8 months.
Well, it changed, but it was like this throughout the 8 months, it was like truly like a process of like the start of it was like honestly like just like facing it's because essentially what's happening is you're facing yourself, because that's ultimately what you're scared of, is like your truest nature, which is Like, in reality, you are everything. You're not like, okay, I am Hayden Pedersen. I'm a YouTuber. I'm a crazy person. All this kind of stuff. Like, in reality, you are the combination of everything. Because it's like, you can be sad. You can be angry. You can be insane. You can be sane. You can be, you're like, that's the thing. Like, there is no, there's no label that is you. Like, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you're, because like, that's a persona if you have that. And so the process was shedding that persona. And so the start of it was like literally like just like the tip of the iceberg. So it was very like surface level stuff, like YouTube posting and all that kind of stuff, just like sort of like shedding away those layers.
But how were you doing that? Were you like journaling? Were
meditation.
You, meditation?
Yeah. Yeah. So it started off being like, okay, like 10 minutes meditation. And then like the next day, like, and like I would just be like doing my thing. I'd still be creating, but I didn't allow myself to post.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I was like, okay, like I'm going to do this by like not posting. Still creating though, because I wanted to create. And then like as time went on, I started to meditate more and more. I was creating less and less. But then creating became more of a way of me journaling. So I'd be talking to the camera more so for me to like sort of reorganize my thoughts and where I am in this whole spiritual process, as I, as you say. And what was interesting was, I was like, I kind of had this idea of like, okay, well, this could be like a cool documentary. So this kind of thing is like long-term, this would be a great, great story, because you have like the rise of like YouTube and fame, so to speak, and all that. And then like risking losing it all, so that you can get back to a place of authenticity. Yeah. And so anyway, coming back to like the shedding of the layers, I started meditating more and more, where it came to like 40 minutes a day, an hour a day, 2 hours a day, 3 hours a day. And then I started experiencing some, this is when like stuff gets really weird. And this is where people are like, oh, this is actually like unbelievable. Literally, I had so much like stuff that was like suppressed down that it started bubbling up to the surface in like, and it started manifesting in like physical forms. And this is, yeah, this is fucking crazy, by the way, but be open-minded to this. I started experiencing like movements that were like uncontrollable, like spontaneous movements. Like I'll be meditating and I would be like doing this, like moving around. And I like, it's like I wasn't doing it.
Yeah, it's your nervous system like discharging.
Yeah, yeah. It's literally it was like my body was like physically trying to like sort of like shake off the ego, because that's kind of like what's happening.
Mm.
Because if you go up so high, you're building your ego, these like ideas of yourself. When you come back down, it's like you, the opposite of building is destructing. So you, when you pass this sort of midpoint, you start to literally physically destruct like this idea of yourself. And so what happens is you start feeling lighter and lighter and less anxious, and you start opening yourself up to spontaneity. But the deeper you go, the scarier shit becomes, because you get closer and closer to the core. And when you get to the core is like death. Like it's the fear of death. And that's where ego death comes into it. And so literally a few months ago, I faced my own death through meditation, and it was the scariest thing that has ever happened. But then like when you like sort of go into it and then you come back out of it, you're like, oh, like I made it kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then it's like this, once you go through that, then that's when like everything sort of becomes like light again. So like all of the, your anxieties, all your fears and stuff, you realize that all of this is a part of the human experience.
Mm.
And because the thing is, fear is not bad. We sort of like have this idea that fear is a bad thing. It's not a bad thing, because fear is a tool. If you had no fear, then what's to stop you from jumping in front of a bus?
Yeah, there's like, there's a quote that I heard years ago, what's on the other side of fear? Who said that? God, it bugged the shit out of me.
Many people.
Many people.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. No man has specifically said it, but you're right. And the thing with meditation, which, so I still to this day, actually, you know what? When we caught up with you guys is when I finally like properly sorted out my anxiety in 2019. I think by the end of it though, because of what was going on in my life, I started taking medication because I'd gotten to a point where I could only go so far.
Mm.
But to this day, I still I still meditate for about 30 minutes a day.
That's great.
There's something about it. Like, I actually looked it up yesterday. Like, what is – there's been studies done to show what it is about meditation that sort of discharges things in your nervous system.
Yeah.
They're not there yet in terms of, like, the data, but it's really interesting just reading some of it and what it does to – your heart cells, to your nervous system. And I'm pretty sure it was talking about the fact that your brainstem, such as the nature of the human mind, because we're all just trying to find patterns in life, right? If you experience something, you just store it in your brain, your brainstem, and it's there. And oftentimes, because of just the way that life is now, you don't have time to deal with it or process it. So when you say what you went through is really just dealing with what has been stored in your brain for the last however long, your lifetime, honestly.
Yeah.
I think a lot of young men as well go through that sort of existential thing where it's like you have to deal with the fact that you're not invincible.
Yeah.
Like men, that there are whole biological reasons, but, you know, you can start with the fact that our DNA string is shorter, or our chromosome, the X chromosome, is shorter than women. Is it X or Y chromosome? I can't fucking remember.
I don't actually know. That's interesting.
Is actually shorter than women because women hold most of the DNA pattern for imprinting and creating a human. And there's beliefs that because ours is shorter, we try to go for more partners, we are more likely to be risk-taking, and therefore young men in particular are likely to believe they're invincible. It's why more young men die in car crashes than than women.
That's interesting.
So there's all sorts of biological reasons that stem from that.
Yeah.
So, you know, for your brain to deal with that fact is very, very hard. I feel like I had it – how old are you now?
24.
Yeah, I probably had it at a similar age, maybe a little bit younger, like 22 was when I first, like, got deep into anxiety, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And honestly, back then, the idea around dealing with it wasn't as well – like YouTube and information and the internet wasn't what it was, you know, nearly 10 years ago. So finding that, I did find some people. I remember that was when I found like Tim Ferriss.
Then
you start getting into things like ego death and all that sort of stuff. And like,
does he talk about ego death?
He does a lot now.
Really?
Like he does a lot of,
interesting.
He funds a lot of research around anxiety and psychedelics, like specifically psilocybin in the US.
Very interesting.
Through John Hopkins.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm totally fascinated by it. Both my brother and I are, because we both have various extents of anxiety and we're like, we wish that there was research here.
Have you ever tried psychedelics?
No, but I want to.
Really?
Yeah. I just need to pass this current stage of my life and
That's all right.
The wedding done and feel like I'm in a good place to do it.
Good idea.
Yeah. So I, it's definitely there on my list. And also, I don't think you can criticize drugs or have an opinion on drugs until you've genuinely.
Oh, you have to experience it.
Experience it. Yeah.
Yeah. I've done shrooms before.
Yeah. It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. No, but like not when I was doing it. Like I didn't do it throughout like the past 8 months. Like this was before YouTube.
What did you think?
My experience?
Yeah.
Okay, my personal experience was, okay, so this was like a time when I was like sort of experimenting with drugs and all that because I was like younger and all that, which is great. but like I was with my mate. We were just like kind of chilling out, smoking a bit of weed here and there. But then he gave me some shrooms, like just like a like normal amount.
Mushrooms?
Yeah, mushrooms. Yeah. And I ended up having lemon juice with it because apparently that amplifies the effects. I don't know if that's true or not. But then like half an hour went by and I'm like, nothing's happening. And then I'm like, give me another round.
Oh, no.
Yep. Mature Hayden. Had another round of it. Nothing was happening. And then he's like, and I'm like, all right, well, dude, nothing's happening. Like, do you have any like leftover weed or anything? He's like, yeah. And he gave me this weed that was like brown. Like it was off weed. And as soon as I smoked that, like I felt like my brain was like, it went backwards in of itself. And I felt like I was being shot like backwards. And I'm like, what the, like it literally felt like reality just started to just sort of like, it was still here, but like it was almost like time and space weren't a thing anymore.
So were you, do you think, because there's different stages of it. The first one is obviously that your perception, so vision, auditory things are distorted.
Yeah.
Then it goes to the next level where you start getting very existential and your reality is distorted.
Yeah.
And then your entire persona is distorted, but at the higher level, that's where you get things like ego death.
Yeah. So I think that I went at that point, I did get to a point where it was either very close or whether it was at ego death, because I had done so much and I did weed as well, which probably made me, because the thing is like, I have, so the way that I've been kind of conditioned is like, I was pretty much like a bit of a control freak. And if you're a control freak,
oh, you don't like it. You don't like it. Yeah.
Like you're in for a shit time.
Yeah.
But actually, you know what? I say that, but like it's different for everyone. So I actually don't know. This is honestly just my personal experience.
Actually, do you know what? You raised something by saying that. I realized that psychedelics like weed, mushrooms, etc., is like forced meditation.
It is.
Almost like you're stuck in the chair and you're not allowed to move, basically.
Well,
and you have to, your brain has to deal with that fact.
Sort of in a way, but like it's more like it's what is happening is it's putting you into an altered state of consciousness. Because right now we are completely like sober. This is just one form of consciousness. But well, obviously, there is only one consciousness as the whole thing, but it's like the way that you experience consciousness changes depending on your viewpoint of reality. And so when you take shrooms, what happens is there's something in your brain called the default mode network, which from my understanding, it like lowers it, because what's happening is the chemical DMT is being released. I don't know if this is like what is in psilocybin or anything, because I actually don't know a lot about the science. So I'm not going to speak about that. But what I will speak about is my experience. And it was the scariest thing that I had ever experienced in my life. But that was at that point.
Yeah.
And like I was like freaking out. I was telling my friend, I'm like, I need to go to the hospital. Like I'm dying. Like I literally felt like I was dying. Yeah. And I was like, I need to call my mom. He's like, don't call your mom. Whatever you do. That lasted for a bit,
and you go through that?
Well, the thing is, it felt like 6 hours, but it had only been 2 minutes because it's like time is just not a thing.
Yeah.
And so obviously, like when you're not used to that, when you're used to structure and stuff, like, and everything is just obliterated and you don't have any kind of like either training or just preparation for that, then that's when you can really screw yourself up. Not in terms of like, well, you might screw yourself up like long term, but the thing is like there are of course inherent dangers, but it's the same thing as like there are inherent dangers in anything that you do in life. That's the reality of it. Like you drink too much milk, you're going to be sick. If you have too many shrooms, you're going to feel sick. You're going to be like, what is going on? And so that's what happened to me. But I'm actually extremely grateful for that experience, because I think that that gave me a bit of insight into reality, like sort of a bit of a, just a little bit of an insight, like at a younger age. It's like, okay, well, there's much more than just this.
Yeah.
As we see it. Do you know what I mean?
I know. And I think it would have been very interesting if you'd had like a, that's why, like when I've done my research, it's always been like you've got to have like a trip sitter or something like that. So I've always been intrigued as to what would it be like if you had like a psychiatrist there with you to sort of prompt certain things and get that effect of it. Because they say that, you know, when I found this stuff, I interviewed a few people on it, and they say that doing low dose when they treat veterans, low dose – not so much veterans, but veterans and PTSD sufferers, if they give them psychiatry with assisted like microdosing of MDMA, it's like condensing 8 therapy sessions into one.
Really?
Yeah. So, which is very, very interesting. So you can accelerate change in the individual for a positive, in a positive direction.
Yeah.
And in an accelerated way, which is what really, really intrigues me.
See, the difference between psychedelics and meditation, because if you do, say, like, Because I did a kind of meditation. It's called third eye meditation, where you kind of like you open your third eye, so to speak. And the third eye is like the metaphysical eye. And that's in scientific terms, it's the pineal gland.
Mm-hmm.
And when that's been activated, DMT is released. So you can naturally release DMT. And so what happens is when you release DMT, it sort of like loosens your grip on your ideas of reality. So you're not so attached to like things, because ultimately man suffers because he is attached to things, to ideas. But if you can detach from all your ideas, then you like you go through life not thinking that it's an illusion, but not thinking that it's so real either. It's kind of like the middle way. It's like in the balance, which is like you start experiencing life for what it is, which is it's just like really it's it just is what it is.
It just is.
But yeah. It's also like you could also say that it's a show.
Yeah.
Because there wouldn't be a story without stakes, like global warming, climate change, all of that kind of stuff. Like, will we make it?
Yeah.
That's the real question. It's like, will we survive or will we kill ourselves? That's the story.
It's so funny you mention that, because I always remember this quote from George Carlin. It's like he's always saying that he was the front row to the freak show.
Mm.
Like he was just sitting there just observing and commenting on it.
Yeah.
And he loved that.
Yeah.
Like he didn't have any vested interest in the outcome.
Mm.
Like he just was there.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
Dude, and that's the key to life, literally, is to just be present.
Have you had, like, because I find this really funny, because I know I've had conversations with family about this sort of stuff. And I remember one, she was like, oh, you know, what's the point? Why are we here? And I'm like, no reason, just to procreate. That's it.
Yeah.
That's literally your job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like everything else is a bonus. If you can have kids, you know, you've served your supposed biological intent.
Mm.
But otherwise, there is none.
Like, well, the thing
no one remembers like the ancient Sumerians. Like there wasn't a Sumerian called Hayden who was on who was carved out on a tablet at the temple and had his own tablet channel.
Mm. Tablet channel, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you just enjoy it.
Well, it's like you could say that the meaning of life or the point, okay, the meaning of life is to realize that there is no meaning. Like that is, because the thing is, if there was one meaning that was universal to everyone, then everyone would be the same and everyone would be like following that thing, which in Western culture, we kind of do that because we're like success is the meaning of life for a lot of people, for example. But the thing is, when you realize that there is no meaning to life, that is the blank slate from which you're able to choose what means something to you.
Mm.
So you get to choose what is meaningful, and then you get to tell the stories to the people around you. Because at the end of the day, we're just storytellers. We're just here. We're all just experiencing life, because like happiness is not here. It's not there. It just is.
Mm.
It's like, why are we searching for something external to fill us up when we really, in reality, we already have that which we desire.
So what have you chosen?
What do you mean? As in like what I choose to do for?
No, like how have you chosen to define what is happiness to you, but also what it is that you're here for? Is it what you just said, to tell stories?
The thing is, like when you shed all of the kind of all of your layers of like you just detach from all your ideas, what is left is authenticity, like what you truly authentically desire. And that's like, that comes down to like a DNA level, because it's like you've gone through your life and you've actually like experienced things, obviously, with like all conditioning and all of that. But the thing is, going through the meditation, it sheds what's rigid in you. That's what happens. It doesn't mean that you shed yourself to the point where you're literally dead. Like you just shed the attachment to things. So when you go through all of it, essentially you are the same person. But the thing is, you're just not attached to outcomes.
Right.
And so me, Hayden Pedersen, I just, at this point in time, I really enjoy storytelling.
Yeah.
I really enjoy making videos, even photo battles, all that kind of stuff, whatever it is, just storytelling. Telling stories that mean something to me that I get excited about. Because that's the thing, like you can have an idea, but then like it's that feeling of like, hell yeah. And you're like fired up about it. Like that feeling, like what really like just makes you just itch inside.
Mm-hmm.
Like that cannot, almost can't be explained because it's like, why?
Yeah.
And like, I would just say it's just the enjoyment because you enjoy it. So why wouldn't you just keep doing what you enjoy?
Well, it's funny because I noticed I was watching, we were resetting everything up last night, and in the background I was playing the recent photo battle and we just had a few look of a few of the older videos. And there's a definite change in the way you make content.
Now?
Like, yeah, because that was one of the questions I had was, you know, let's talk about change.
Mm.
Obviously, things would have changed, life principles, et cetera.
Oh, yeah.
So to me, it seems like you're already a passionate guy. I don't know, maybe the videos feel... It's sort of like Willy Wonka's like released his golden tickets in a way. Does that make sense? Like it just feels like there's more quality over quantity.
Well, that's the thing. It's like before I was more so spreading myself thin and trying. It was like rushing it to get it out there because I was like, oh, if I don't get it out there by this time, then people are going to start forgetting about me. And it's like, what happens? I've taken all this time. I've spent 3 years building up this thing. What if it all goes away? But that's the thing. It's like, that's just an idea. It's like, what if? It's all future related. What could happen? But the thing is, reality is, you cannot know. Mm. You cannot ever know. Because then if you could know, it ruins the game. It ruins the show. Because then it's like having a spoiler for a movie. Why would you want to know?
I would also argue that when you don't post as much and then you do have something to say, people take more notice.
Like, oh, for sure.
The best example is because we're on... we're managing TikTok talent now and we're on TikTok and there's this one guy who's made a few songs specific to people having arguments on Facebook.
Mm.
You probably recognize it or possibly heard it in the past. And he barely, like he might release something once a month, but when it does, it blows up in a big way because it is so good.
Really?
And because you're just like, holy shit, like this guy took it to the next level.
It's because, like, the thing is, it's like that whole idea of thinking outside the box. It's like that idea in itself is kind of like, it's tough because it's like, okay, well, then it's like, how do I think outside the box? And it's like, then you put pressure on yourself to think outside the box. Mm. But the thing is, that in itself is not spontaneous. And that is thinking outside of the present moment. But the thing is, to actually think outside the box, you got to be in the present moment, which is the box within which we live in. Hmm. So actually, you got to think inside the box to think outside the box. Does that make sense?
Fuck, that's a fucking mindfuck.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
But the thing is, true spontaneity just comes out of being truly engaged in the present moment. Like in the same way as like with photography, podcasts, conversations, whatever it is, if you are truly engaged in what you're doing, which we call the flow state, it's almost like the thing is doing you and you're not doing the thing. Or it's actually, no, it's both. It's almost like you're doing it, but it's doing you, but you lose all track of time and space because you're so damn engaged in what it is that you're doing.
Yeah, or you don't realize how quickly you got something done because you were so engaged in it.
And it becomes effortless.
Yeah.
And when it's effortless like that, as a byproduct, you create the best stuff. But that's the thing. That is just an idea. So you're not even like concerned about that. That's a part of the fun.
Mm.
But that is simply the byproduct of you being engaged.
Yeah.
That's the key to all of it.
You. Yes, you. Are you intrigued by this episode? If so, go to our footer on the website, NEURALLE.com. We're going to give you an insight each week. It's going to be on business, marketing, or a topic that we covered in the episode at all. We'd love your support and it would help us in developing the intellect around this series. But without going on too much longer, let's get back into this episode.
Have you read that book by that guy who wrote about flow states?
It's on my Amazon. You've read many books, yeah. By the way.
It's on my Amazon check. Wish list.
Yeah.
It's because I regularly get, like every now and then, like a couple times a year, I'll get a gift card.
Mm.
And you should see my bedside table at the moment. There's like 20 books on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at like your shelf here. You've already got like a whole bunch.
There's a lot that I've added to. There's quite a few actually. I wanted to read like, who's the guy Karl Marx?
Oh, yeah.
Wrote about. Marxism, socialism, etc. So yep. I wanted to read that. I wanted to read Hitler's book. I wanted to read like the book on like the Chinese Communist Party.
You love reading.
Yeah. Interesting stuff.
So what, I've got a question for you actually. When it comes to reading, how do you know that they're telling the truth?
You don't.
Exactly. Well, I'm not saying exactly as in exactly. It's more like, I'm not saying that reading is bad. Reading is amazing. Information is amazing. But information is only knowledge if you can apply it in your own life.
Yeah. I think, so I read for an hour every night.
It's amazing.
I will buy different themes in areas that I believe that I can immediately apply to my life right now.
Mm-hmm.
So in the past, I used to buy, and this is when you go through that sort of, you know, self-help reading book stage, and you get to a point where you're just like, what the fuck, man? It's just the same old shit in another way.
Well, the thing is, it's just like information from a different person. So what it comes down to is like, it's people's opinions. So
it's all opinions.
You're putting your own self-love in, you're trusting that in the idea of a random's opinion that you don't, like, it's based in nothing. So, and that's where like Buddhism and all of that, they have this sort of like philosophy of nothingness. If you can get down to nothingness, that's ultimate self-love, because it's detached from everything, and detachment is love. So,
well, you would quite like this guy, Naval Ravikant. He's sort of like the VC. He's sort of just like a walking tool of wisdom. Like the guy is just utterly fascinating, and he's read. He regularly talks about the Buddhism book that talks about the Prince Buddha, the guy who became supposedly Buddha in Nepal or Tibet, wherever it was. And he made a very interesting point that has changed the way I read probably 2 years ago. That was, read the originals. So read the books that have been around for like 100+ years that people still read to this day in your different areas. So it could be psychology, it could be politics, could be whatever, religion. And treat it like you have very little time on earth. So if you don't enjoy the book, just put it down.
Yeah.
You don't have to fucking read it.
You don't have to read it. Yeah.
A lot of people, and Lauren falls into this trap, is she'll pick up a book, and she's had a book that I read that I really enjoyed, but she just wasn't into it. But she had it on her bedside table for like 9 months. And I'm just like, that is just a waste of time. But she couldn't accept that she couldn't not finish it.
Yeah.
So I just don't care. Like there's a lot of books in here, like Mastering the Market Cycle. I reckon I got like 30 pages into that. I'm like, I don't fucking care.
It's just boring.
Like I like Howard Marks, and I'll read his blog post because I think he's a great mind in finance. But, and he's one of the original investors that's been around for like 50 years. But the book was boring.
But like that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of all of it, is that some people would find that so interesting.
Yeah.
And then because you wouldn't have people who find things interesting if you didn't have people who didn't find other things not interesting. You know what I mean?
That's another thing that Naval recommends, is that sometimes you just have a book comes to you at the right point in time.
Yeah.
And I would say when I buy books, let's say I buy like 10 at a time, I reckon 20% of them come to me at the right time.
Yeah.
Like I'm just totally engrossed in them.
Yeah.
So
I see that you have Ego is the Enemy there by Ryan Holiday. That's one of the books that I've read. And it helped me at a point in time when I needed to like kind of learn about the ego and stuff. But the thing is, demonizing the ego, like you can do that for a while, which is like, it's great because then kind of like that's what motivates you to go on your journey kind of thing. But what you'll come to find is once you sort of come to the end of your consciousness sort of journey, is that the ego is a fundamentally, like it is fundamental to your human existence, because without it, you would be dead. Because it's your survival mechanism. If you didn't have an ego, you would actually be dead, because you would be mindless. And if you're mindless, you are by definition dead. But it's not about killing the ego. It's about knowing what the ego is. And as a byproduct of that, the ego sort of turns into a ghost, so to speak. So you could say it's killing it, and it's like, it's just there, in the same way as like you are a mountain and the ego is the wind. It doesn't affect you, but it's there.
I think his book is like a sort of McDonald's Happy Meal to like
a bit,
the idea of stoicism, which is a very like in Greek culture and Mediterranean culture, very popular, which is really just a gateway drug to mindfulness.
Yeah. Well, that's actually a perfect way of explaining. I think that Stoicism is a great way to get people who are so engrossed in themselves into mindfulness, which is the transition to becoming both selfless and selfish at the same time, which is becoming is.
Yeah.
You, like what you are.
Yeah. Because the Stoics were like heavily influenced by Eurasia and sort of that Indian subcontinent area when it came to like philosophy. It's really interesting. I read a book recently and it basically covers the history of Stoicism and how it came about. And it's really interesting to read like the initial ideas of like people, the different sects. If that makes sense. Like you would have in Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity, there's different groups of people and they all believe in different things. So there's this one guy who was super wealthy, but at least one day a week or one week a month would live like a beggar on the street.
Yeah.
Like just stuff like that, which is very interesting. Or one guy who for a week would only eat like the equivalent of like oatmeal and nothing else.
Fuck that.
Just to like show himself that he could do it and that, you know, you don't need all this stuff to survive. So
I think that like going through that kind of stuff is good because it's a phase that you have to go through to like sort of show yourself, okay, I can do this sort of thing. And I went through a similar thing where I went up to the snow with my friends and I went out in the freezing cold and I was just wearing pretty much, it was a long sleeve shirt. And I went out into the trees, there's snow everywhere. I sit on a rock and I take off my shirt and I start meditating. I meditated there for 20 minutes or something and I felt like I was getting hypothermia, but I was using my mind to try and like warm myself up with like sort of like visualization and stuff.
Yeah.
That's the kind of shit that's like, fuck that. But like I just needed to sort of prove that to myself, I suppose.
Yeah, I think the cold for me is like the best way to do that sort of stuff.
Well, you look at Wim Hof.
Yeah, I was going to say you'd obviously know of Wim Hof, but you'd really not like Naval. You'd really like Jordan Peterson. I think there's an overarching theme here that people have started to identify in the West. Just reminds me of like, did you ever see like the Da Vinci Code movie and there's the monk and he's like whipping himself in the back?
Yeah,
it's a bit like that.
It's like pain.
Suppressing as opposed to just observing. Like Naval has this type of meditation where he doesn't sit and meditate. He just tries to meditate while moving around and walking.
Of course.
So he'll go for a walk and, you know, we'll walk and we'll see a person and be like, oh, they're hot or I don't like their shoes or why have they got a tablet in their hand or what's that weird headpiece or something like that. Whereas he's trying to train himself to just not even do that, which is like, incredibly hard.
The thing is, to train yourself to not do that.
Just like, observe it.
It's more like, you observe yourself doing that. Because the thing is, if you try to not do that, then you're going to suffer because then you're going to be like, fuck, like I did it again. You just get like frustrated with yourself. But the thing is, that's just a part of like your conditioning. It's a part of like who you are as like a human being at that point in time. So there is no good or bad. Only thinking makes it so, as Aristotle said. I think it was Aristotle. But if you can just simply observe yourself labeling things, observe your thoughts from a place of like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it just is. It is what it is. It's not. But the thing is, to come to that realization is the most difficult thing that you will ever do. It's the most difficult thing that the human race will ever do. And on top of that, it will also solve every single problem that the human race has if people were mindful, because climate change, global, all of that stuff, everything, all of our suffering stems from attachment.
Yeah. But I would say, and Jordan Peterson will argue this, there was always going to be suffering in being human. It's just a part of existing.
Course.
And the thing is that so long as the majority and you as an individual can focus on being a better person the next day and practicing some of the stuff that you mentioned, we're probably got a good chance of being around, particularly if we've got Elon Musk
Well, that's the thing.
On our team. You know, there's a lot here that we've covered. I know that when we put out the question, I've asked you this in like Instagram lives, like what's the question that you wish people would ask? but yeah, so some of the questions, the usual stuff, affordable cameras, who do you like the least in the group? Who do you like the most in the group?
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about any of that shit.
Should I get a loan for film school? How can I grow? How much do you make off YouTube? Why are you gay? When are you coming to when are you coming to India, Europe, America? Blah, blah, blah. Like just usual procrastination questions.
All these questions are just ideas to try and get somewhere. To get somewhere, you don't, like, you got to not try. Like,
but you've also just got to start somewhere as opposed
to. Yeah, just get started. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just, like, because I picked up filmmaking when I was in fifth grade and I wasn't thinking about it. Like, I just clicked on some animation sort of thing. And I was like, just played around with it. I just had fun with it. I wasn't like, oh, okay, this is my life purpose. When you're in grade five, you're not thinking about your life purpose. You're just being. Mm. You're just enjoying yourself.
So I've thought about it, like, how do we – it must be so hard for you guys because you get a lot of these questions. And from an outsider looking at what you guys do, the only thing I can say to these people is what Liam says, don't think, just do. Now, what does that actually mean? Okay. It literally just means, in my mind – what do? You just start telling stories.
It's true, but the thing is there's also like a sort of like there's a bit of a devil in that saying because it's like then you're demonizing thinking. But as I said, like because it's like don't think. It's like as if it's a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the thing is
in this context.
Yeah, in this context.
In this frame of mind when you're thinking about these sort of things, I believe that those type of people are stopping themselves from what they want to achieve and they're just finessing the details.
Well, the thing is, it's not, as I've said, it's not the thoughts that are the problem. It's your attachment to them and how and what they have as an influence on you. Because if you are detached from them, thoughts don't have an influence on you. So if you want to succeed, if you want to, well, there's two ways you can do it. First way is you can force yourself to do it, which you can like, and that's sort of like what I sort of transitioned into doing when I like went more and more burnt out and I started having my mental breakdown. Everything was just so forceful and I was so anxious all the time. I was like, oh my God, like I don't want to make this video because I'm so scared. Because like, what if people think this? What if that? But I was, because of my habits of just doing, I kept pushing through that. But as a result of that, I built these layers of ego and I just became more and more scared because I was doing things and forcing them as if I was getting somewhere. But the reality is there's nowhere to go except for being here right now in this moment.
Okay.
But the thing is, when I say that, that's not to say that you can't have desires and like want to be somewhere, like have a Lamborghini or whatever, that shit, like you can want that. Like I want a Lamborghini. It'll be sick. But it's your attachment to the idea of it. If you're detached from that, then you can create from a place that's authentic. And when you create from a place that's authentic in the present moment being engaged, you will create stuff that is unlike anything else. That is not a copy of what other people are trying to do. You are in the red pool, so to speak, not the blue pool, because no one wants to go into the red pool. Everyone wants to try and succeed. If you're in that red pool of just being present, then as a byproduct, you'll create the best stuff because you are truly engaged in it. And then you'll become a master of it. And when you're a master of it, that's what separates you from the people who are trying to succeed versus the people who are actually successful.
So people should remove and detach themselves from things like growing.
From themselves.
From wanting to be XYZ on YouTube, whatever.
Detaching from wanting. It's not saying that you don't want, because like otherwise, what's the point? Like you just sit there, and that's a shit life. And I've been there with the meditation. I let go of all of it to the point where like I was just sitting there, and at my peak point of meditation, I was meditating for like 8 hours, which is in a day, which is ridiculous. Like, and I needed to go through it, of course, but that's no life because you're still chasing something. You're chasing nothing. like no thing, which is still an idea.
Yeah.
But the thing is, to get to actual nothingness, you're just not even like concerned about it.
Yeah.
You get to the point where it's like, the only thing that matters is what is happening right now. But even saying that, every word that's coming out of my mouth is just an idea. So this is all information, which is great. But as I said, information is nothing unless if you actually take it on and you experience it and put it into practice, which is maybe it's meditating. Maybe it's like just being mindful as you're walking and like talking. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Or doing what you did when you're going through that process, instead of, you could be journaling, you could be recording yourself on camera.
Exactly. Anything. Yeah. And like the thing is like, yeah.
I've tried to do this with, so managing some of the creators that we have, you know, there's one or two that have gone through a period where they grew really fast, particularly on a platform like TikTok.
Mm. Interesting.
And,
yeah.
And now they're like stuck because they're like, I don't know what to do. Like, because they just started overthinking what they were doing.
Yeah.
And maybe they've become defined by a certain, not genre, but a certain bit, a certain type of thing.
And so,
I just said to one of them, I'm like, okay, can we just have a thing where every week you just send me a piece of content?
Yeah.
Like, no, you can't publish it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, that could be good for them because it's like, then that can be a way of like, them stopping themselves from getting into the kind of, I have to get, stay relevant. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. And also it can sort of get them out of the rut.
Yeah.
So to speak, because at least they feel like they're doing something with themselves.
Yeah.
And maybe they're doing it more for enjoyment as opposed to just views.
Well, if it comes down to it, like if you're doing it because you enjoy it, then you'll succeed.
Yeah.
But it's the tempting thing to do is to look at the views and get attached to the views or the money or the byproducts of your enjoyment. Because that is actually like the, I reckon, one of the toughest things. If you really enjoy what you do, you're going to see results.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh shit, I'm seeing the results. And then that's when you're kind of like your eye goes towards the results more and it takes it away from the present moment.
Yeah.
And that is what kills creativity.
Yeah, I would say the same.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a company, like every Friday we have our meetup and we talk about like downloads and stuff like that, don't we, Jacob?
Yeah.
Which is fine, but actually, like, I stopped caring a while ago about it because at the end of the day, I've made so many friends and new relationships from this and things that have come from it that, it just doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it doesn't. But like, the thing is, it's part of the fun.
It actually makes it a lot more fun.
Yeah.
Because then you go, well, actually, I can have only this many downloads or this many views or whatever, and we get all these great things from it. Like, isn't that cool? Doesn't that make it worth it?
Life is honestly like a video game. Like, it's it's like collecting coins. The more coins you collect, the more you're able to kind of unlock certain parts of the map or whatever it is that you want. And, otherwise, if there weren't the coins and all of that, then what would be the incentive to do anything?
Yeah.
And so it's desire is not so much, it's more like a compass in life. It's like, where do you want to go? Mm. It's not about like getting to the destination, as cliche as we always know that whole saying. It's like, it's about the journey or the destination. But really, like in reality, it is about the journey. The joy of traveling is not to arrive, it's to travel.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't be traveling in the first place if you didn't have a place in mind.
Yeah.
So it's your attachment to the outcome. That is what will create suffering.
I like it.
Yep. Deep as.
I want to jump into some rapid fire questions
for
you.
Here we go. Fire away.
During this entire period, something you've watched or listen to that's had a lot of impact for you?
The paradox is it's like the most impact came from going inward and not watching other things. But if I was to say something that like things that were the transition from external to internal would be Eckhart Tolle.
Okay.
Have you heard of him?
No.
He's a spiritual teacher. He talks about consciousness and stuff. And he just talks about, actually, no, Eckhart Tolle's one, but Alan Watts.
Oh, yeah.
Alan Watts has been a mentor for me. He's come up in every single turning point of my life, and his philosophy, the middle way of living in between the rigid, aka the logical, and the mystical, which is the dynamic, having them come together into one, the yin and yang coming together, that is the best way to live life. Because then you're not concerned about this side or this side. You're just being.
I thoroughly recommend anyone listening to go watch just at least one Alan Watts
video. Alan Watts is incredible.
Just type in a topic, any topic you want.
You'll probably know it.
You would have heard the voice before.
In like a mix or something.
Yeah, it's always in a mix. Yeah. It's always in like a...
Psy trance or something.
Psy trance or like if you search like ASMR work noise or something like that. I'll listen to something like that and then, you know, it'll come up.
Yeah.
It'll come up for sure.
Yeah.
What was your go-to food and drink during this entire lockdown period?
Well, it was, it started off being like, okay, I'm going to eat healthy and stuff, but then that, it didn't really stick. You kind of get to a point where you just eat food that you enjoy, but like the food that you enjoy, once you like kind of shed all of the layers, so to speak, it comes down to fresh food, because what you truly enjoy is stuff that's clean because it's good for your body. Naturally, that's what you want. So I'm starting, as of now, I'm eating more and more like sort of not all like plant-based stuff, but I feel like I'm gravitating towards that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Last question for you. If you could have a billboard anywhere,
what would it say?
In the state of Victoria, where would it be?
Okay.
Yeah, and what would it say?
Okay. In Victoria. Oh, shit.
Or Melbourne, wherever you want.
Probably like, a really public place. What's like Fed Square or something?
Yeah, I reckon like, I noticed there's a new one. It's not new, but it's always been there, but it used to be still. Now it's a digital wraparound board.
Yeah.
And it's on when you turn right from St Kilda Road onto Flinders.
Yeah.
Up at the top of Young and Jackson.
Yeah.
Had to be the most prominent billboard now. That or the one on Punt Road when you go under the bridge.
Yeah.
At Richmond Station.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is a good place. It would either be just the words, just be, or... You've really put me on the spot here.
Alan Watts.
Or maybe just like, this is an idea.
Okay.
Like, these words are an idea. Just to like get people sort of like, know, like sort of like, oh, well, that's actually true. Like, that's just an idea.
Mm.
Maybe. Something along those lines. I would obviously have to like contemplate that. Yeah. That's something that's like, if you can like narrow that down to something that's really simple, like... Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to get back to you. Yeah,
the billboard one's always a hard one.
That is a toughie. Yeah.
I've been thinking about it a decent amount recently.
Mm.
I do, because billboards are so cheap to buy at the moment in terms of placement. I've just always wondered, like, what could you get away with putting on it?
Actually, I reckon I would put on something like "you are" and then like _.
I like that,
because then it's like, you could take that as two ways. It's like, you are, and then like people would be like, okay, you are this, you are that. But the thing is, the real thing behind it is you are, as in you just are.
Mm.
Like there is nothing that can actually
label
you.
But nothing is still a thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, nothing is everything. Everything is comprised of nothing, because everything comes from nothing and nothing comes from everything.
And everything is nothing.
How's that? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hayden, thank you for coming in.
This has gone very quickly. Enjoyed this. It's been fun.
I was just like looking at the time like, shit, this guy's car park runs out very, very soon. That's I'm like, right, fuck, I'll that went really, really, really quick.
Business expense. Not really. Anyway.
where do you want people to find you nowadays?
Well, you can find me on YouTube, believe it or not. Hayden Pedersen is my name. My Instagram is Haydos_Pedersen. And those are the two platforms that I mainly post on. But I will be starting to post more on TikTok and everything, sort of just getting the ball rolling kind of thing. But YouTube is my main thing, because that's what I love.
So this year, I guess we can see a little bit more of you.
Oh, bro. I'm so keen. Yeah. Like, I've never been
permitting,
so keen.
Permitting the lockdowns.
Yeah. Well, even so, you'll see more of me, for sure.
Hayden Pedersen, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Jordan Michael Michaelakalakalides. It's been great.
Thanks, mate.
This is Hayden Pedersen, and this is The Uncommon Show.
Thank you so much for checking out this episode. If you do like it, please subscribe, and of course, like if you're watching the YouTube video as well. We'd really appreciate that. You can also find our Clips channel in the description. For audio, if you're not already listening, you can search Uncommon on Pocketcast, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts quite easily. For video, if you're not watching, you can search Uncommon on YouTube. And for behind the scenes takes and clips on social media, then definitely check out at @uncommon_show on Instagram. But otherwise, look, thanks so much for tuning in. And until next time, thanks for listening.